UK Wine Show, show number 83. Bald Hills with Blair and Estelle Hunt. On this week's show...
It was important to us right from the beginning to get the very best winemaker we could.
Because we're small, because we have a first-class product, there is the exclusivity and scarceness and scarcity model that applies.
And in the news this week, the EU agrees watered-down wine reform, UK big fans of fair trade, and Selfridge's continued push for smaller servings.
G'day. Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 83 for the 28th of September 2007. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're talking with Blair and Estelle Hunt. They're the owners of Bald Hills. Bald Hills has done very well in this year's competitions, picking up 7 trophies, including the IWC Regional Trophy for Bald Hills Pinot Noir 2005, as well as the International Pinot Noir Trophy. And then, in the September Awards in London, they went on to win the ultimate accolade, the 2007 Champion Red. In the week prior, Bald Hills Pinot Noir 2005 also claimed the regional and international Pinot Noir over £10 trophy at the Decanter Wine Awards 2007. This was the first time a non-Burgundy wine has picked up the award. All this success has not come at the expense of the environment, though, as they also picked up the inaugural IWC Planet Earth Award for Sustainability. I met with Blair and Estelle at their vineyard home last week, and if you ever thought about going into the boutique wine business, they've certainly got the business model for you. We find out about their secret to success. But before we get into that, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. A diluted EU wine reform has been agreed this week, with some of the more radical reforms toned down or delayed. Northern European countries that objected to the proposed ban on sugar for enriching wines have got their way. The use of sugar will now continue to be permitted, although maximum levels will be reduced. Member states will, however, be able to make requests to the Commission to increase the level of enrichment for exceptional climatic reasons. Subsidies for things such as distillation schemes, which were to be abandoned from day one, are now to be phased out over a 4-year period to give winemakers a chance to adapt. And the ban on planting, which would have ended in 2013, won't now be phased out until 2015, with the possibility that it could continue until 2018. At the same time, there will be a 3-year voluntary grubbing up scheme to encourage unprofitable producers to remove up to 175,000 hectares of vines. This is less than half the original figure proposed, which would have seen 400,000 hectares of vines taken out. The European Commission still believes the revised plan will bring balance to the wine market and allow the budget to be used for more positive proactive measures, which will boost the competitiveness of European wines. The reform comes into force on the 1st of August 2008. Next up, according to the Fair Trade Foundation, the UK is by far the biggest consumer of fair trade wine, with 2.5 million litres sold last year, representing a market value of £7 million. This still only amounts to around 1% of the overall wine market in the UK, but wine is one of the fastest growing fair trade products. Just over half the population recognises the Fairtrade mark, but this is likely to increase as retailers increase their Fairtrade wine ranges. The Co-op and Marks & Spencer are both champions of Fairtrade, which aims to ensure a better deal for growers in countries such as South Africa, Chile and Argentina. And finally this week, Selfridges is still hoping that its wine jukebox will eventually be reinstated, letting customers try some of the world's finest wines in small taster samples for a fraction of the price of a bottle. The department store fell out with Westminster Council back in the summer of 2007 by serving customers wine in measures of 25ml and 75ml, which were legally too small. Dawn Davies, the sommelier at the Wonder Bar, says Selfridges is in consultation with the government, and though they are quite keen to change the law, the process is taking time. Meanwhile, customers can still taste 52 wines by the glass, but only in 125ml and 175ml measures. That's it for this week, but don't forget you can get more detail on these stories on the news homepage of our website, 3050.co.uk. Back over to you, Chris.
Cheers, Jane. Well, with bans on planting continuing and emergency distillation still going on, instead of dead wood being carted out and the industry left to thrive, the operation has been extended for another 4 years, and with planting bans for as long as maybe 11 years. This is not reform. This is the patient being let bleed to death. It gives the rest of the world another 4 to 11 years free pass to take market share and result in more time to bleed the life out of the EU industry. On a brighter side, I was in Queenstown a couple of weeks ago, the New Zealand adrenaline capital of the world, where I based myself for a couple of interviews, including this week's Bald Hills interview. While there, I saw one of those wine jukeboxes in operation and thought it was great. It was part of a bottle shop, cum bar, and with guests sampling different wines and chatting, occasionally about the wines, but they're having a really nice time and they got a chance to sample some cracking wines. It's a shame about the ban in Westminster, but hopefully when and if the law is changed, it may act as an opportunity to open up more premium wines to people. Don't forget our monthly poll. This month we're looking at, when you purchase a bottle of wine, which of the following is most important to you? Is it grape variety, country of origin or region, brand name or producer that you know and like, price, the wine has won an award, the wine will be right for the occasion, or a recommendation? And next week we'll announce what the final results are from that poll. So do have your say. You can get to it by going to 3050.co.uk or ukwineshow.co.uk. Next up, we have the interview with Blair and Estelle Hunt of Bald Hills. Hi, I'm here with Blair and Estelle Hunt. They are the owners and proprietors of Bald Hills, which has just recently won a slew of wine awards. How are you guys?
Oh, we're just fine. Thank you very much, Chris.
Good, thanks, Chris.
Excellent.
I like the word slew. I try to think what you're trying to pump out there.
We're in gold country, you see, aren't we?
So there you go.
The old slews. Do you want to talk a bit about just what awards did you guys win?
Well, Blair, you
Oh, I'm going to do it. All right. We were very fortunate in winning the regional decanter over 10-pound Pinot Noir award, which was followed up with the international over 10-pound Pinot Noir award at their presentation dinner in London in September. So two there, and then another four trophies from the International Wine Challenge, three of which we knew about before we went to the UK, but one was a total surprise, namely the champion red of the show. So we took, again, the international Pinot Noir trophy at IWC, but on top of that, out of 30 of us, we picked up the champion red. Also of interest, I think, is the inaugural sustainability award in their newly formed Planet Earth Awards.
So that was for your 2005 Pinot?
That was 2005 Pinot Noir, yes.
Fantastic. And you're growing that in Bannockburn. That's where we are at the moment.
Grow it right here on this site.
Bannockburn, Otago, New Zealand.
Bald Hills Estate in Bannockburn, Otago,
yeah. Was it called Bald Hills?
Oh, well, the hills were extremely bald when we first came here.
Yeah.
Also, Bald Hills had a lot of meaning for Blair because where he went to school in Brisbane, there was a Bald Hills nearby. There was a town north of Alexandra, a tiny little village called Bald Hill, and it just seemed an appropriate name, and we liked the sort of reverse psychology of Bald Hill.
Yeah, I think from my standpoint, just simply looking out the back windows here, we saw Bald Hills, and to be able to extract the product that we have out of these Bald Hills is just quite phenomenal to me.
How long have you been growing grapes here now? Because you're quite new.
We're very new. We bought this block of land as a bare block in April of 1997, so 10 years. In 97, there were 2 hectares of Pinot Noir planted, and then subsequently we've planted another 3 hectares of Pinot Noir and 1 hectare of Pinot Gris and of Riesling. And that's it. It's a single vineyard stuff. What you see is what you get.
Originally, you didn't make your own wine, did you? Your winemaker's Grant Taylor. He's quite a renowned local winemaker.
No, we've never made our own wine. We it was important to us right from the beginning to get the very best winemaker we could.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky to secure Grant Taylor because he has a very wide reputation. He has a lot of experience. And it was just our very good fortune that he agreed.
Yeah. You can talk a little bit more about Grant. I mean, he's internationally acclaimed. He has now taken that champion red wine at the IWC twice. He did it, I think, for the 2000 vintage Pinot Noir from Gibson Valley. Mm-hmm. So there's this winemaker who's come up twice in the last number of years with that very significant award. I think also with Grant, he's probably 27, 28 years of winemaking experience, and he does vintages and has done vintages in Burgundy and Oregon and USA as well as here. So he is a very experienced, excellent winemaker.
Okay, so you've been pretty pleased working with Grant.
You
judge that from that comment.
And he's such an easygoing, pleasant fellow, and we really enjoy his company.
Fantastic.
So we're just lucky.
When did you start producing your own wines? Because originally you were selling your grapes on, weren't you?
Yeah, we sold initial grapes to Gibson Valley, where our wine was made, and that part of that arrangement was that Gibson Valley had our Riesling for the first number of years. So our first vintage in our own label, Riesling, was 2005. Mm-hmm. Our first Pinot Noir was 2002. Our first Pinot Gris was 2003. So we've had Gris from 2003 onwards. We'll be just putting the 07 out, I'd say, within the week. And Riesling from 2005 onwards, and that too will have the 07 vintage out within a week or so.
Fantastic. And earlier on, it was under the labelling, but it did say Bald Hills on the bottle, wasn't it? It was like, it was even...
I think you might be confusing there, Chris. The Valley, yep. Grant Taylor's own label, yep. In 2001 would have been the first Pinot Noir off this block, and he had a ton which he got from Gibson Valley. He was then their resident winemaker.
Oh, okay.
And so he made a ton of Bald Hills, what he called Bald Hills Vineyard Pinot Noir in 2001.
And that was
Valley, V-A-L-L-I.
Yep.
We have two bottles of that stashed away. That's all. And then from 2002 onwards, it's been in our own name, and therefore he couldn't use Bald Hills. He now calls it Valley Bannockburn.
Oh, okay. So it was your grapes, though?
In the 2001, yes.
Yep, okay, yeah, okay. But then after that, he didn't. Oh, excellent. You're pretty lucky. You've probably got one of the lifestyle that most people want to achieve. You know, looking around, you've got a lovely vineyard, you've got a lovely house, you don't seem to have, like, your wines are made off-site, so you don't have all the big industrial tanks that you need, and you've got a nice wee tasting room, so it seems like a very nice lifestyle that you've set up.
It's a wonderful lifestyle, and we have a great garden. And when we were looking for the land, it was important to find something that would be suitable for our home as well as for a vineyard. And we saw some very nice land that would have suited a vineyard, but not a home as well. And just to find this piece of land, this lovely little piece, with a sense of privacy about it.
Yeah, because you're down
and
a dirt
road.
And
good soils.
Yeah. What are you on? Are you on schist or...?
We have wind-blown loess and layers of gravelly schist.
What's loess?
It's wind-blown soils that have accumulated over all.
Oh,
there,
okay.
And it's spelt L-O-E-S-S. Mm-hmm. We've, as far as the garden's concerned, we've added much organic matter.
Yep.
And so we have a very good vegetable garden. Those artichokes I'm preparing at the moment are straight out of our garden.
Oh, nice. Mm. Yeah.
You talk about the lifestyle, Chris. There's still plenty of work in it.
I mean, yeah.
It's very enjoyable, and you get pleasure out of what you achieve. And Estelle says garden. We're talking about the product of the vineyard. But, you spend your time working hard, and that's enjoyable too, I guess, if you get good results.
And you've just recently started exporting into the UK the year that you won your award, so that's a fantastic start. Mm. Who are you dealing with in the UK?
James Ellis of Richmond, and our experience with them is very young, as you've just noted, But I think we can look forward to a very profitable mutual arrangement there, because we seem to talk the same language. We don't want to beat around the bush too much. Get on with it.
Yep.
And we certainly, Estelle and I, enjoyed meeting James and his team when we were in London in September.
Alice of Richmond, they're normally focusing on the restaurant trade as opposed to maybe the high street, certainly not the supermarkets. Yes. Is that where you see yourselves being positioned?
Obviously, absolutely. You're not going to be a big volume. Small production, and the focus is very much on quality. So, yes, with the small production and quality, we need to be in restaurants.
I think
we couldn't supply supermarkets.
No.
adding to that, I mean, because we're small, because we have a first-class product, there is the exclusivity and scarceness and scarcity model that applies. And whilst ever we continue to make the quality of wine that we do, I believe that we will enhance our position at the top end of the market and need to. We need to be in top restaurants in the UK and anywhere else for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as Estelle says, because we don't have a lot of product, it'll be very important to get the best placings for the, or placements for those wines.
Sure.
An example in London was, who's that guy that's got the Rude show?
The F word.
Oh, Gordon.
I think Gordon, yes. It's in
Gordon Ramsay.
We're told that they've placed it in his restaurant there, so that's a Michelin 3-star, as I understand.
Yep.
So if we can achieve that level of placement, then we are achieving our goals of exclusivity, scarceness, and quality.
All right, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much, Blair and Estelle. I thought it was quite funny that Blair named Bald Hills after a suburb in Brisbane. I'm currently putting the show together at my dad's place, holidaying in sunny Australia for Christmas, and the suburb we're in is just beside Bald Hills. I drove through it on the way into Brisbane a couple of days ago to do some shopping. While I was there talking to them last week, I thought their setup was superb, and I must admit, I'd love to be in the same situation as them. But Blair has worked hard all his life, and he is a sharp cookie, so perhaps one day. One of the awards we mentioned was the Inaugural Award for Sustainable Viticulture. This is a relatively new term and encompasses a range of concepts. The New Zealand Wine Growers Association, which is sort of the trade body for all the wine growers, are committed to getting all New Zealand wineries going sustainable by 2012. So I thought I might try and understand what exactly sustainable viticulture means. So we're going to be talking with Blair Hunt from Bald Hills again next week, but also Greg Hay from Peregrine Vineyards in Otago. He's a viticulturalist. And we're going to be trying to get to the bottom of what is sustainable viticulture and what does it mean to you and me. So have a very good New Year's Eve. And until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott, and the news is researched by Sandra Clement. To listen to other shows, visit www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.